There's a call for state lawmakers to put forward a bill in 2026 that would prevent people on probation from being sent back to jail for minor technical violations. But what are the laws on the books here in Connecticut, and how would provisions like this impact our state? We asked State Senator Paul Ciccarella about this. He's the ranking senator on the Public Safety and Security Committee in our state, but also serves on the Judiciary Committee in Connecticut.
So I looked at this article, and in any system, there could be flaws, but this article, I don't think, has all the details. Sometimes reporters will interview someone and they use the wrong term, whether it's probation, parole, maybe it's the suspended sentence. Those all have different, meanings, and there are different ways to enforce those. A suspended sentence, if somebody were to violate within that time, they could have the whole sentence come back. Probation is different, and a technical violation of a probation could be being late for an appointment. But when I'm looking at that, I still have a lot of questions.
Right? Me too.
I believe that a lot of questions. But I've talked to a lot of probation officers, and I've heard a lot of legislation proposed, not only on the public safety where I'm ranking, but I'm also on the Judiciary Committee. So, this is something that we pay close attention to. And with that in mind, that there could be flaws in a system, and maybe a probation officer could have an axe to grind with one of their clients, there's still checks and balances there. They still have to go before a prosecutor. And we're actually seeing the opposite. We're not seeing people being violated. If you look at our numbers in jail, they're down. People are not getting sent back to jail. And in my conversations with rank and file probation officers, they're being told not to violate, and not for technical violations, for serious things. Dirty urines, maybe having more run-ins with the law, or maybe getting in trouble for something, and they're still not violating them. So I would really like to see more evidence that there is an issue with this system, but I am extremely concerned if this moves forward. Because what we're doing here, yet again, is taking away oversight and accountability for people that have made mistakes. This is a process of correcting their behaviors and actions. And if we're not going to violate them for not showing up to probation, what's the point of being on probation? Or if a part of your probation stipulation is you cannot do drugs because that makes you do bad things like steal, but then you're going to continuously have dirty urines, how is this person on probation going to get any corrective measure to become a productive member of society?
Well, and I hate to say this, Senator Ciccarella, but, and maybe I'm dumbing this down, so feel free to tell me that. But to me, it's sort of like an empty promise, if you will. So people who are on probation, the reason they're on probation is because they're still being monitored for doing something wrong. And if you break your probation, there are consequences. I mean, it's sort of like telling a kid if they eat cookies before dinner, then they're not going to get dessert for a week. But then if they eat the cookies, you're like, well, you could still have dessert later. We're just mad about it. Like, it doesn't logically make any sense that there wouldn't be some repercussion just because you're in the probation period of your sentence.
I agree. And I use that kind of analogy all the time to simplify it, but it stands true. It would be pointless to have a probation system where people would not be held accountable for not following the rules. And some of the proposals were, you can't violate them for, again, a dirty urine, not showing up. And if you don't show up, how does the probation officer make sure you're doing the right thing and you're not a threat to society and or going down that wrong path? I don't think it's a good idea. I think this is the problem with Connecticut, that we focus on legislation like this and worrying about the criminal and not the law-abiding citizen. We are going in the right direction in certain areas. We've passed legislation with serious gun charges that make it available for a judge to put a mandatory cash bond on anyone with a serious gun charge. And the judges are using it, and we're seeing less violent gun crime on the streets. We look at Bridgeport at a high murder rate per year. It's low. It's, I think, at 3 right now. That's amazing. It's working because we're holding them accountable. Prior to that law going in place and allowing the judge to put a mandatory cash bond, they could get out on a bond and there was no oversight. They could have a bail bonds friend getting them out for nothing. And they're back on the street committing these crimes over and over again until their case is heard. and they don't bring those cases forward. They take care of the ones of people that are incarcerated first. So someone out on a very serious gun charge, out on bond, could be out on bond for years. And we've seen people out on bond committing a crime after crime after crime, and they didn't even adjudicate the first case, and they go to finally get their day in court, and they have five or six actual gun charges, and they all plea them into one case. That was a problem. We corrected that, and we saw an active cause and effect. We saw success in putting that legislation forward, murders down. But we need to worry about the theft and other violent crimes that don't involve guns. And if we're going to be able to start taking away people's accountability and consequences when they're out on bond or probation, parole, I think that is absolute silly. And we need to make sure that we're paying attention to the law-abiding citizen and not worrying constantly about what's happening with the criminals. Now, if there was a problem, I'd be the first to hear it, but I don't see a problem.
Well, and I have another issue with this. Again, we've got Senator Paul Ciccarelli here with us, and Senator Ciccarelli is very focused on, you know, well, I would say law and order in the state of Connecticut. He is a ranking senator on the Public Safety and Security Committee. He also serves on the Judiciary Committee. So he's focused on things like this. And I do want to get to the part of the conversation, Senator Ciccarelli, about what are some of your goals for the 2026 legislative session when it comes to crime. You know, in this article, it was interesting because I'm reading through again. This was originally a proposal or a legislation that was introduced by a state rep, Josh Hall, out of Hartford. Interestingly enough, Hartford having some of the highest crime rates in the state. But the proposal, it says, is to prevent people from being automatically sent back to prison for non-criminal violations of parole. Things like missing appointments, failed drug tests, missing curfew or treatment, or leaving the state without permission. What I think is interesting about this is, and I don't have the stats in front of me, so maybe you have a better understanding of this, but usually these, I'm going to call them red flag, but seem like very low level issues. But these red flag moments are a lot of the times what leads law enforcement to find a more egregious crime being committed. So, you know, I can't, as a reporter, the amount of times I will, you know, I'll hear that, oh, this person missed, you know, three court appearances. And then we found out that, you know, domestic violence was going on, or, you know, something else that this person wasn't even, you know, accused of. But it's because there was sort of this like aha moment, like, wait a minute, why didn't they come to court? Even if it was for something very minor, why didn't they show up, or they failed a drug test, or they left the state and didn't tell us ahead of time? Those moments sometimes are major turning points in what could be egregious crimes happening in Connecticut. And again, I know that's a very blanketed statement. That's not for every single person. So I want to make that very clear. But I think kind of lessening those, to me, non-criminal violations of parole, kind of, again, lessening that and taking the weight off of that, I think also doesn't help law enforcement to effectively do their jobs either, because if we don't care, then they're not going to care.
I couldn't agree with you more. And if they're not going to follow these simple rules, then they're not going to be following the law. It's just that simple. And again, I've talked to numerous probation officers, and they're not violating on the first dirty urine. They're just not. Like, look at our numbers within the DOC. They are down. They're not throwing everyone in jail. And if we take away the ability for a probation officer to violate someone for leaving the state while on probation when they're not supposed to, we don't know what they're doing, to your point. If we take away the ability to have an actual consequence for not showing up to see your probation officer, what is the point of being on probation?
Right.
You can't violate them if they don't show up. So then they don't have to show up. It just simply doesn't make sense. And then again, with the dirty urines, and I'd love to get all of these stats and statistics, but my understanding is they're not violating for dirty urines, and they're not doing it for multiple dirty urines from what I have seen and heard. So to say that you can't violate them at all for any of those three examples you just said is literally the opposite of what we need to be doing, and that's holding people accountable further actions. And we need to stop proposing legislation that protects criminals and start proposing legislation to have law and order. And I think that's a segue into the things that we want to work on this year. And it's not that. Now, again, if there was some egregious process that was happening within the Department of Probation, I would love to pay attention to that, but I don't see it.
I was going to ask that.
Like,
no, but I'm glad that you said that, because that was going to be a question too, and I don't know at all. I mean, are we seeing just, you know, these examples of, oh my gosh, mistreatment, you're being sent back to jail for missing an appointment, a court date? I mean, are we seeing that's happening at an obnoxious level in Connecticut, or is this really just based on, you know, a handful of people who are not happy with the system and how they're now, you know, being treated because of it? It's like personal for them. Or do we see this happening, you know, to many, 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 many people unfairly?
No, we don't. And in fact, again, I'm seeing the exact opposite of that. And there is a checks and balances. The probation officer just can't, again, have the axe to grind with someone, or he knew them from his, you know, high school days and he doesn't like this person, so he's just going to continue to violate him. There is a checks and balances. This probation officer does not get to be the judge and jury and say, you violated, you're going back to jail for X amount of time. It doesn't work that way. They violate them, and then it goes before a prosecutor, and the prosecutor makes a decision. And in my opinion, and what I have seen from my conversations, they're actually being lighter on these violations within probation. And personally, I think prosecutors are being a lot lighter on the sentencing and the sentencing guidelines that are in place for certain crimes. I think we're being lighter on those, you know, these days. So I actually see the opposite of what this story and article has brought to light.
We are chatting with State Senator Paul Ciccarella, who is the ranking senator on the Public Safety and Security Committee, also serves on the Judiciary Committee for our state. So, Senator Ciccarella, I'd love to hear from you some of your goals for the 2026 legislative session when it comes to combating crime in our state. What are you focused on?
So, you know, how I determine what I'm going to focus on is by speaking to the people that are in their professions. And what we're hearing from our elected local officials, our police officers, the brass, the chiefs, is recruitment and retention. Our numbers are down. A lot of individuals that are in this industry and in law enforcement are retiring. We have the baby boomers. And we need to replenish those rank and file officers. And we're seeing the numbers dramatically down. And we need to find a way to recruit new officers and then retain officers. So that's something that we need to look at. We've been trying to tackle this for numerous years now. We've seen it being a problem, and it's only getting worse. So we definitely need to work on our recruitment and retention. Another thing we need to do is make sure our officers have the tools they need to keep us safe. There are certain laws that were passed and certain regulations that were put in place. For example, you know, very, very minimal reasons that officers pursue someone, and the criminals know that, and they're running constantly. So we need to find a way to hold these individuals accountable when they're just taking off. And if it's a stolen car or misuse of plate, there is really no accountability for the people that are running from the police, and they know the police cannot chase. So we are going to look at those policies. I think POST is looking at those now. And if they don't allow them to, there's other technology. There's something called Starlink. So when someone's running, they could literally shoot a projectile that has a tracking device on the vehicle, and then they don't have to chase them and create an unsafe environment for the, you know, general, you know, public going about their day. But then they could catch up to them and hopefully hold them accountable. Also, we need to make sure that we could bring back the consent to search. You talked about, you know, being able to see what's going on with someone on probation and then stop crime from happening, seeing someone going down the wrong path, and it stops crime. You know, when these officers are able to search vehicles and they're able to get guns and drugs off the street, that's important. And they don't have the ability for consent searches anymore. And we believe that would be great to give them back that tool for them to do their jobs more effectively. So those are things that we are going to be concentrating on. And, you know, as we said, we see issues and then we try to solve them. We saw very serious issues in our cities. You know, we had Democratic mayors of our big cities, New Haven, Hartford, that were speaking out about the bill that I mentioned earlier. If somebody is getting serious gun charges repeatedly, that violent gun charges, that on that second one, there has to be, or there is the ability for a judge to hold them on a cash bond, because we saw a problem where these individuals were getting out repeatedly. And we don't know if they were actually giving the bail bondsman actual money. There really isn't checks and balances.
Yeah.
And because we did that, we see a reduction in murders.
Right.
You know, these people are staying in jail. They're off the streets. And that is good. We need to focus on other areas where we see crime is still an issue and solve the problems. I don't think we need to create new laws. I just think we need to enforce the ones on the books. And sometimes there's internal policies within departments or agencies that kind of bend the law a little. I'm going to give you a great example. We saw juvenile crime was a big problem.
Yeah.
And there was a juvenile justice bill about 3 years ago. And we were, you know, working with, the bipartisan bill, and we wanted to address this juvenile car theft problem. So we passed a bill that says if this juvenile is caught, I think it's on the third time, that they would have to go to an adult court, and then they could hopefully get, you know, corrective measure. Juvenile court really doesn't have too many teeth to hold someone accountable, especially when they're robbing a car three times. So we thought we were making some progress, and then the practice book changed. And a juvenile could get a diversionary program for a small crime. And I think that that's a great thing, right? Somebody's loitering, maybe they get in a little schoolyard fight, steal a candy bar, make a bad decision. Everyone does it.
Right.
And we don't want everyone to get caught up in the judicial system. We want to show them there's a better way and get them whatever resources they need so they don't go down that wrong path.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great thing, but it can't be for serious crimes.
Right.
So this risk screener was for small crimes like that. And now they added Grand Theft Auto to qualify for a risk screener.
What that is
a series of questions that an officer will ask when this person gets arrested. And if they answer the questions correctly, regardless of the officer's knowledge about this person, so they could say, you know, are you on drugs? Are you hanging out with felons? And have you done this before?
Right.
They could just say, no, that's not true. They still qualify for the risk screener and they just get out. That's it. They get out.
Only because we've run out of time, Senator Ciccarella, but I think what you're highlighting is that we really need to also look at what is working on the books right now and where we're still lacking. And we really have to have an open mind, even if that means going back and, dare I say, looking at something, for example, the police accountability law. Maybe that needs to be looked at again. And so I appreciate you having these conversations. I'm sorry that we've run out of time this time around, but I know we'll have you back on the show plenty of times during 2026. Thank you so much for what you do, and I look forward to talking to you in the new year.